Hello, everybody. It's time once again for Before You Buy, the show where we review products using our entire Twit staff. Coming up, a look at two new cell phones. Yes, the camcorder is alive and kicking. Sarah Lane takes a look at this Sphero ball. And we're going to review the latest Samsung TV with apps. It's all next. Make sure you watch Before You Buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. Before You Buy is brought to you by Stamps.com. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package with your own computer and printer for a $110 bonus offer, including $55 free postage. Visit Stamps.com and use the offer code Before You Buy. Welcome Before You Buy, everybody. Leo Laporte here. Let me take these 3D glasses off. We'll be talking about that 3D TV in just a little bit. But we always like to review cell phones. We're so glad we have Nicole Lee here, and not only as a producer, but, of course, for many years she reviewed cell phones for another network. She's here to review this, the latest 4G LTE phone from Verizon and LG. Let's take a look at the Spectrum.
Hey, I'm Nicole Lee from Twit.tv, and this is my review of the LG Spectrum. Now, it's called the Spectrum because of its very nice true HD display. This is a 4.5-inch display, so it's nice and big for watching videos mostly, because this phone comes with the ESPN Score Center application. That's its big claim to fame, and it essentially lets you watch live ESPN video in HD. It also comes with Netflix, and you can watch Netflix videos in HD. So all in all, like, the really sharp, beautiful, colorful, very vibrant images from this phone because of the true HD IPS display. It has a 16:9 widescreen ratio as well. Aside from the display, the phone itself has an okay design. I mean, it's pretty nice and slim. It's around 0.41 inch thick here. The overall body of the phone, however, I don't think feels very good in the hand. On the back here, for example, has a very sort of cheap, glossy, plasticky kind of display. Not really my cup of tea, personally. It's very fingerprint prone as well. And even though I do like the sharp and beautiful display, this is kind of a nitpick, but it does look as if it's sitting right underneath glass. For example, in other IPS true HD displays that we've seen, it looks painted on almost. Like with the iPhone, the IPS display, it just looks painted on. But with this, you still get the feeling of a piece of glass sort of sitting above the display. Kind of a nitpick, but a little thing I noticed. Underneath the display, you do get the usual Android shortcut keys like the menu, home, and back keys. There is no search key because when you long press the menu key, that essentially brings up the search function. On top of the phone, you do get the usual headset jack, the charging USB jack, as well as the power or screen lock button. Above the display is the 1.3-megapixel front-facing camera. And on the back is the 8-megapixel rear-facing camera, of course. It has an LED flash as well. Now let's talk about the UI of the phone. I have to say, in terms of all the Android skins, the LG skin is not my favorite. It just seems kind of cartoony, just not really my favorite UI, as well as the application menu screen is just not very refined. As you can see here, the apps are all categorized into these sort of nebulous categories like communication, HD, Verizon Wireless, there's a bunch of apps, for example. It just seems kind of arbitrary. For example, the Amazon Kindle app is in the Verizon Wireless category. That doesn't really make any sense to me at all. So I'm not a big fan of the UI, and if you're into the whole rooting thing, I would definitely recommend you root this phone to get the UI that you want out of it. Also, kind of a downside is that the phone ships with Android 2.3 Gingerbread. That's kind of a downer just because a lot of phones are coming out with ice cream sandwich these days, and I just would like to see that in new phones coming out from Verizon right now. Another cool aspect of the phone is that it is DLNA compatible. What that means is that It is compatible with any other DLNA equipped device in your home. So if your TV has DLNA in it, you can just stream whatever is on your phone to your big screen TV. A few words about the camera quality. The 8 megapixel camera, I have to say, it's pretty good. I mean, it comes with a 16 gigabyte micro SD card, so you do get decent storage out of that. But we definitely would recommend a little bit more storage for those who take a lot of pictures. The camera app, it's really fast autofocus. Just all you have to do is just tap it really quickly, and it just like take photos in barely a split second almost. So it's really fast autofocus, really fast shutter time. The image quality is pretty good, a pretty detailed, very sharp, very vibrant. The colors were not exactly true. I mean, if you're kind of a photography buff, you'll notice it, especially in low light situations, it gets kind of hazy. So it's not the best camera in the phone. I mean, it's a good camera phone, but whether it's the best camera we've seen in phones, it's not really up to the standards that I have anyway. It is pretty fast in terms of menu navigation, swiping from left to right just really seems pretty snappy to me. I mean, there were a few occasional hiccups that I wasn't too pleased about, but that's pretty normal for a lot of Android phones anyway. Another really good thing I like about this phone is that it's a 4G LTE phone. So if you live in an area with Verizon's 4G LTE service, you'll love the speed you get out of it. Just really fast internet, really fast browsing time. It just seems a very snappy, speedy phone. However, with that 4G LTE speed comes a price. The battery life is just not good. Even in Petaluma, where we don't get 4G, we only get 3G and from Verizon around here, the battery life is just not good. It barely lasts a full day with the battery fully charged. Now let's get to the pros and cons. The pros, definitely the display. It's nice and beautiful. 4.5-inch display is just gorgeous. True HD is where it's at in smartphones these days, and the Spectrum definitely hits that mark. It's also $200 for a 4G LTE phone. It's pretty affordable considering all the other options out there. You know, it does have 4G LTE, like I said, very snappy, 1.5 gigahertz dual core processor. So overall, in that sense, pretty good quality. Now we come to the cons. I have to say the phone has a very plasticky hardware feel that I'm just not into. That's a personal thing on my part. And the LG user interface is just too cartoony and just not very refined. Kind of not my cup of tea in that sense. In conclusion, I would definitely say try for the LG Spectrum. The display is beautiful, but the battery life is just too bad for me. I'm Nicole Lee from twit.tv, and this has been the review of the LG Spectrum.
Thanks, Nicole. All right. Did you know that there still is a market for camcorders? Most of us now shoot video with our smartphones. We've got those capabilities. But we got our own Chad Johnson to review this new camcorder, the HMX Q10 from Samsung. Let's take a look.
Hi, my name is Chad Johnson with twit.tv and Before You Buy, and I am reviewing the Samsung HMX Q10. Let's start off this review with the hardware. This camcorder has a 2.7-inch touchscreen display. It also has connections for an AV out, HDMI out, and a USB out. And then there is a power DC in. And those are the only connections on the entire camera. When I first picked up this camcorder, the one thing that I was very surprised about is I didn't know actually which way was up and which way was down. It's so cylindrical. And Samsung has thought of this, and in fact, you can actually use it either way. So this is a camera that can be used technically upside down or right side up. And all the menus actually flip depending on which way you're pointing the camera. So you can actually use this camcorder as a left-handed person or a right-handed person, which is very convenient. This camcorder has a 20x digital zoom, so it'll do a 10x optical zoom and then an extra 10x as a digital zoom to help you really get in as close as you could. I turned off the digital zoom because I don't like it, and I just stayed with the 10x optical zoom for when I was shooting around. The sensor that's inside this camcorder is a 0.25-inch CMOS sensor, and it handles low light situations very well as bright daylight situations, as you can see here. While this camera does have an optical image stabilizer, it doesn't stabilize quite as much as I would want it to. Although it is so small that I really don't care that much, it tended to look like shaky cam whenever I was using it. This camera records in 1080 60i, which is really nice, and if you want to bump down the quality, you will get 720 60p out of this camera. The MSRP on this camcorder is $250, although the street price I was finding for around $170, give or take a few dollars. Let's get to my pros and cons. Let's start with the pros. Obviously, this is super tiny. I could put it into my jacket pocket, carry it around with me. I didn't notice that it was in my jacket pocket, and I could pull it out and use it whenever. The other pro is that the image quality was really good. It records in full 1080i resolution, and I was very happy with the product. And finally, it was very responsive. I was worried about using a touch screen on this camera, but every time I pushed a button, it was very responsive and it would respond quickly to my touch. The cons with this device are that the mic is built in, and it wasn't the best quality mic, and because it's built in, I could hear when I would rock the toward and wide button back and forth. And so you kind of get a plasticky sound through the mic, which was not desirable. Also, shaky cam would happen a lot. I know that's not the technical term for it, but it was very hard to keep my video stable when it's this small and my hand tends to shake when I'm shooting. Also, this camera took a little bit longer to focus on things than I wanted because I don't have any physical control over the focus other than going into manual mode and touching the screen to focus. It was very disappointing that the focus on this camera wasn't quite up to snuff. Buy, try, or don't buy for the Samsung Q10? I'm going to say buy. I really, really enjoyed using this camera. In fact, to the point where I really don't want to give it up. It was small, I could take it wherever I wanted, and the video quality was great. So if you're in the field for this type of camera, absolutely buy. Thanks for watching. I'm Chad Johnson with Twit.tv, and before you buy, see you next time.
Wow, $250. I have to say, that's an amazing price. I remember, you know, for a long time, camcorders are at least $1,000, and these things are half the size and twice as good. So good price for that Samsung camcorder. We're going to come back in just a little bit with some quick reviews of the Galaxy Note. The AT&T version is finally here, and Sarah is going to play with these balls. But first, I want to talk about stamps.com. You know, the post office is about to raise the price of stamps. Post offices are closing. You know, one thing you can always guarantee, there will be a line when you go to get those new stamps. I don't have to worry about it because I bring the post office to me with Stamps.com. If you're on a PC or Mac, Stamps.com lets you print official U.S. postage right from your computer and your printer. You don't need any special ink. You don't need a postage meter. You just need Stamps.com. You can print shipping at labels for any kind of package. And you know what's great? No matter what size the package is, the post office comes and picks it up for you, either on the mail carrier's regular route or you can even schedule a free pickup. And you get discounts with Stamps.com you cannot get at the post office. 15% off priority mail, 21% off express mail. It's great for an eBay seller, an Amazon seller. Print those forms automatically and just get it out the door. Even better if you ship internationally. Those international forms and the international postage can drive you crazy, but Stamps.com does it all automatically. It even fills out the forms for you. And if you use QuickBooks, it'll use your QuickBooks address book for invoices and everything else. I tell you what, Stamps.com is so great, but I don't even have to tell you, I don't even have to sell it to you because you can try it for free right now, a special no-risk offer just for you, the folks who listen to Before You Buy. You go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, see, don't click that $80 deal. I got a better deal for you. Click the radio microphone at the top there, and you'll get a $110 bonus offer. Just type in Before You Buy. $110 bonus offer. That includes a digital scale that's really handy. It's USB, plugs right into the computer, so you always have exactly the right postage. They're even going to give you $55 worth of free postage. Now, that is a great deal. Look, this is literally a no-risk trial. You've got nothing to lose. In fact, the only thing you have to lose is not doing it. Stamps.com. Click the microphone before you buy. We thank Stamps.com for making Before You Buy possible. So I gave you my review a few weeks back, a few episodes back, of what the phone I'm still carrying, the Samsung Galaxy Note. I love it. But I reviewed the GSM unlocked version, the international version. It's now out on AT&T. So the AT&T version is just as big. It's still a monster phone, but it's got some different buttons, and it's LTE. Where Tony Wang's going to review it in a second. Before he does, Sarah Lane takes a look at this. It's called Sphero. Sarah?
Hey, everybody. Sarah Lane from Twit TV here, and I have a little fun toy for all you remote control enthusiasts. It's called Sphero, and it looks like a simple little ball that's sort of lit up, except that it has a brain. Well, actually, it doesn't really have a brain. It's my brain that's controlling it for my iPhone here. This is a remote-controlled, battery-operated, Bluetooth-connected little ball that is surprisingly hard to figure out how to navigate. I have sort of the representation of the ball here on my app. I also have these little boost buttons. With a boost button, you can really get going. So the deal with Sphero is that it's $130 for the ball and then the power adapter. When it's sitting in here, it'll just charge wirelessly. But the cool thing about Sphero is it's not just about this device, it's all the apps that you can use. There are several apps. There's the Sphero app in general, that's the one that I just showed you. Then there's also Sphero Drive. It's almost more of like a car racing type of a thing. There's Draw and Drive, that's you are drawing on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device interface. There's Sphero Golf, where you can actually play the game as if it's a golf interface. And then there's Sphero Cam, which there is no cam actually on Sphero itself, but it's a camera that would be integrated into the app so that if you were, I don't know, playing an office prank or maybe with your kids or maybe with a pet, it's kind of fun to be able to record the session. For $130, this seems really steep to me. However, remember that all of those apps are free, so it's like you're getting five games in one. And if you're the kind of person who's going to take the time to learn the little nuances of how this little ball reacts to apps, and again, this works on iPhones, iPads, Android devices, so it can be used with a variety of different systems, it's fun. I would not buy this, but I'm also really bad at remote controlled anything, so if you're better than me, you might actually really, really enjoy this. Fun for the whole family and friends. For Twit TV, I am Sarah Lane for Before You Buy.
I'm Tony for Twit.tv, and today I'm here with the Samsung Galaxy Note. This is the AT&T version, and it is model number is I717, and the international version is actually N7000. And I'll just quickly go through the difference between the two. The AT&T Galaxy Note comes with 1.5 GHz Scorpion processor. It also has NFC built-in hardware, and software is not enabled yet, but I'm sure it's going to come shortly. And the other only difference is that the S Pen has a different color button on the pen. Another notable difference is the button layout on the phone. You can see that the international version has a hardware button for going home, and the AT&T version has an extra button for search and no hardware button. The AT&T Galaxy Note also has LTE built-in. And that's one of the reasons why it's using a different processor, because the original Exynos processor doesn't work with LTE. If you would like to see the full review of Galaxy Note, please check out episode number 6 of Before You Buy. Personally, I prefer the unlocked version better, because I'm getting a lot of software updates from Samsung directly, and the AT&T version requires AT&T to approve the update before we get them. So the updates are coming, but not here yet. Another reason you would like the AT&T version is that it is subsidized at $299, so you don't have to shell out over $500 for an unlocked version. It doesn't really matter which Galaxy Note you go with. I personally think that they're both great devices, and you can't go wrong with either one of them. I'm Tony Wayne for Twit.tv, and thank you for watching Before You Buy.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Tony Wang. And, of course, for full reviews, we've got the full-length reviews of both the Galaxy Note AT&T version and the Sphero balls on our website. That's YouTube.com /twit. Make sure you watch those. In fact, this show and all of our shows are up there all the time, so it's an easy way to watch what we do at youtube.com/twit. Now it's my turn to review this big screen 46-inch Samsung UN46D8000. This new 8000 series is what Samsung is calling a smart 3D TV. And, you know, the truth is, it's a great TV. I'm not going to review the TV. It's got lots of nice features, SRS Theater Sound HD. It's full 1080p. It does 2D and 3D with active glasses. These comes with a pair of active glass, actually two pairs of active 3D glasses. It's got an eco light sensor, a monitor to measure the intensity of the light in the room, so it actually adjusts automatically. Ultra clear panel. I'll tell you what, we've been enjoying this all week, and the screen is beautiful. The bezel is very thin. It's got a gorgeous stand, a brushed titanium with a swivel stand. All of that I'm going to give you. But what we really want to talk about, because this is brand new, is this apps platform. And, of course, you're going to see a lot of television manufacturers putting internet connections on their TVs and putting some sort of apps interface. So let's talk a little bit about that, because that's what's unique to this television. It comes with an unusual... Ah! Let me go to the smart hub. That was a good picture, though. You admit that. Here, let me show you the remote. This is the Samsung remote. Now, it's a little bit bigger and thicker, as you can see. A kind of a standard remote on one side with the channels and the volume and all of that. And a few extra buttons that are dedicated to the Smart Apps Hub. But this is really where it's different. It's got a full QWERTY keyboard on here, an arrow and mousing capability. This little tiny bit actually works as a mouse, and buttons dedicated to the Smart Hub. So you'll be using this remote a lot. Thicker and heavier than a traditional remote, but not much bigger. Let me press the Smart Hub button. We'll get to the Smart Hub screen. And you can see right away, this looks somewhat similar to screens that other companies have come up with. Apple, Logitech's review, the Google TV, the Roku box. There are more icons because there's a lot more going on. First of all, we've got picture in picture here. So you continue to watch your TV. You could turn that off and on. They've got a special Your Video section, which I kind of like. This is connected to a number of different services, Cinema Now, Vudu. So what you can do is use this to search for content, videos, movies, that kind of thing. And let's say you want to watch Man on a Mission, Richard Garriott, who is, of course, Lord British and his trip on in the Russian space ship, information, director's cast, and a watch button. Now, Samsung's not selling this directly. Cinema Now has it for $6.99 for rental in standard def. Vudu has it for $5.99 in standard def rental. Blockbuster does not have it. All three of these are connected in. I notice there's a lot more room. I guess in time Samsung will add more vendors to this. But that's the kind of the special video hub that lets you watch movies, TV shows, get recommendations from friends. That's one of the things that's kind of interesting about this. There's a lot of social built into this. You can have a Twitter screen scroll across. Of course, it's got Hulu. It's got Netflix. I'm loading up Hulu Plus. I'm not going to load it right now. But you do have Hulu Plus on here, which is something the Google TV doesn't do. This is Samsung's own proprietary platform, not Google TV, not anything else. I would guess running on Linux, but I'm not sure. The Netflix app looks exactly like the Roku Netflix app. It is not a special version of that app for the Samsung TV. In fact, you can develop other apps. There's an app store, and there are a lot of apps available. We're working on our own app for the Samsung platform. It's a little different from everybody else, and it's a new platform, so... here's the, if you use Netflix, you'll recognize this immediately, the Netflix interface. This is exactly the same one that you'll find on a Roku box. Let me go back to the Smart Hub. Yes, I want to exit Netflix. Thank you. And show you a few more things. Smart Hub does contain a lot of settings and controls, not just channels. These are the recommended channels. There's HBO Go. That's kind of interesting. You might say, well, if I have this TV hooked up to my cable box, I don't need HBO Go. But I guess if this were in a bedroom where you didn't have cable, you just had the internet, you could watch HBO Go. One little word of warning, you have to be an HBO subscriber and log in through your cable company, and not all cable companies are supported. In fact, I was surprised to see that my cable company, Comcast, was not supported. So, which is odd because Comcast is, in fact, support, believe it or not, supported on my HBO Go on my iPad and iPhone. So apparently the list of, you should probably check before you rely on this, the list of supporting cable companies is different on the Samsung TV than it would be on a remote platform. Let me see if this will launch. This is the social TV hub, and it crashed, and it has been doing that. That's one of the things I don't, frankly... Oh, here we go. No, it is working. So I'm going to register the Facebook. It didn't crash. It just put me back in a TV. I can register Facebook, have my Facebook and Twitter content on here. I can tweet a show I'm watching or a Facebook a show I'm watching. Kind of interesting idea. One other thing that I like about this is it supports DLNA, which is the ability to get content out of a mobile device or a computer. They call it AllShare. That's the Samsung name for DLNA. And if you have a Samsung phone, you'll be able to, although we haven't been able to get it working. We're on the same Wi-Fi network, but it's not seeing the phone. But in theory, anyway, you'd be able to play any content that's in your phone, music, photos, or video from the phone to the TV. DLNA is the kind of standard-based version of Apple's AirPlay. And it's pretty much the same technology, but as others have pointed out, unfortunately, it's not quite as easy to use or quite as automatic as Apple's AirPlay technology. There's a schedule manager. You can control settings and sources from here. And you can see, I'll just scroll through it. There's quite a few apps that it comes with, and there's more available all the time. A little bit sluggish response from the remote control. That's not unusual on these kinds of boxes. There's Vudu, Time TV, Fandango, Major League Baseball, NHL. Kind of the same, you know, the usual suspects that you'd see on other platforms like this. I'll have to say the pros on this is it's integrated into the TV. The TV now has Ethernet and Wi-Fi capability. I had no trouble getting it on a WPA2 protected network. It supports all the encrypted protocols. And it was fairly easy to do so. So if your needs are simple, Netflix, Hulu Plus, it certainly will get the job done for you. The negative, it had to update quite a bit when we first turned it on, and I imagine there will continue to be updates. It's a little unpleasant when you're trying to watch TV and you got to wait for the software to update. We found the response a little bit sluggish and the user interface a little bit ungainly. In summation, I would say Samsung, this is a first iteration of this. I think Samsung's done a decent job. Up to now, Samsung was using the Yahoo Widgets platform. But it is indeed a first iteration. And I'm going to say if you're trying to, it's a great TV. I wouldn't hesitate recommending it as a TV, but I cannot recommend, and I do give a not-buy recommendation for the apps platform. I think this is brand new. Samsung's got a way to go. And because it's built into your TV, it's not as easy to upgrade. If you have an existing TV and you like your Roku, you like your Boxy Box or your Google TV, stick with that. This isn't a reason to upgrade yet. But I expect good things from Samsung. I think they've done some things right. The remote is good. In time, this is going to be a better platform. Just not enough to buy it right now. Chat room's asking me, does it have a browser? It does. And in fact, the browser does play Flash. So that's actually pretty handy. I'm not sure if it's a WebKit-based browser. I'm not sure what the platform is, but it does surf. The list price on this TV, $26.99. Amazon price, about $1,740. So it's a little pricey. I think you're paying a little extra for perhaps for the apps platform. Let's just go to YouTube. What do you say? And we'll show you how you can surf. It's Looks a little bit like Chrome. It's a very clean interface designed for the big screen. And I do believe Flash plays just fine. Nope. I navigated off it. Let's go back. There's kind of an interesting feature. You can press a button that turns this into a mouse that you just roll your fingers over, although I found it easier to use the arrows and the select button. The arrows just move the focus from button to button. And in most cases, this is just fine. There we go. Let's launch the video in a moment. Yeah, and it looks good. HD video actually looks really good on this. So, you know, it's comparable to a lot of the other platforms. I just don't think it's anything great, anything to write home about just yet. The Samsung, get ready for this. It's a long name. The UN 46-inch D8000 Smart 3D TV. That's my review. I say, maybe not yet. Thanks for joining us. I hope you've enjoyed our reviews of these products. I hope you enjoy Before You Buy. We'd love to hear from you. Our email is beforeyoubuy@twit.tv. You can send us an email and let us know what you'd like us to review next. On behalf of all of our reviewers, Nicole Lee, Tony Wang, Sarah Lane, and me. Anybody else? Leaving anybody out? I think that's all of it. We thank you for joining us. And remember to watch Before You Buy.